From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, hear the word of the Lord. Now, in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Oh, don't be afraid. For I bring good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this very day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, Yahweh. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then there appeared with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and on earth, peace to those in whom God takes great delight." And when all those angels had gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "We should go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has occurred, which God has made known to us." And so they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And everybody was amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, praising God for all that they had heard and seen that had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In Western civilization, we have had a love affair with shepherds in the scriptures for a long, long time. I don't know if that's true all around the world, but in the Western Hemisphere especially, there is a drawing, a magnetism about sheep and shepherds. It probably begins, of course, with David, who was, as a boy, the keeper of the flock, or at least part of the time, for his family. And of course, he became the shepherd king, the king over Israel. Quite a story. And he became the writer of the most famous of all the Psalms, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But shepherds show up again and again in the scriptures, in major and minor prophets, where the prophets speak of good shepherds and bad shepherds, and how desperately at times Israel was for a good shepherd, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Of course, it all comes to its fulfillment, all of these foreshadowings, when Jesus comes and pronounces himself as the Good Shepherd, John chapter 10. The one who knows us everyone by name, who goes out before us from the sheepfold, and he protects us, he keeps us in his care, he sleeps across the sheepfold door at night, keeping us from those who would seek to destroy us. The Good Shepherd. But then, of course, there are the shepherds of Christmas Day. Those who were keeping their flock by night in the area around Bethlehem. What about them? Is it possible in any kind of way that we could ever forget those shepherds? Well, let's pray together. And we'll take a look at this in the telling of the story of what we find there in Luke chapter 2. Let's pray. Dear God, we ask you to come in ways that would even surprise us. Really, Lord, to do your will, whatever that takes. Because we really do bring a lot with us on any given week. And this morning, I'm sure many of us have a lot on our hearts and minds. And we may not even know what our need is. But you do. And we pray that the story of the shepherds might somehow intersect with our lives, either for our good or the good of someone else. For we pray humbly, but honestly, confidently in the beloved name of Jesus. Amen. You know the story probably right well. You've probably heard it so many times. If you're a churchgoer, you hear it every year, at least on Christmas Eve, if not on one of the Sundays of Advent. There was a band of shepherds who were keeping their flock outside of Bethlehem. One of the things that you may not know is that the area where they probably were raising the sheep was just to the north of Bethlehem, not far from the road that connects Jerusalem to Bethlehem, in an area called Migdal Adar. And it is the place where, at least tradition has held, that shepherds raised special sheep. And that was the sheep that would have the lambs that were then sacrificed on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. These were the ones that of which it was said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. These were special sheep. Probably. It doesn't name it in the text, but there's a good chance. It was this band of shepherds taking care of these sheep to whom this mighty angel showed up. And when he showed up, something accompanied him that is hard to describe. It says that the glory of the Lord shone all around them, which means somehow the glory of God has been transmuted somehow into light. Now, glory in the scriptures refers to one's real self, that is, the real true nature of a being, including God. And when the glory of God shows up in scripture, God is revealing who he is. And oftentimes, this revealing of who he is like a new manifestation where something is being revealed that wasn't seen so clearly up to that point. And so it is on this Christmas morn. God shows up in his glory in the form of light so radiant that it is just terrifying to these shepherds. It reminds me of the great picture in Revelation chapter 1. Do you remember the story? Old John, who was best friends with Jesus on earth, years after the resurrection, John's in exile on Patmos, and he hears a voice, and he turns around, and it's the Lord himself, Jesus himself, in his glory, and John falls down like a dead man, stricken by the presence of the Holy God. Something on that order is going on that Christmas morn. The angel says to the shepherds, don't be afraid, because all I'm bringing to you is good news of great joy. For to you today and to all the peoples of the world is born Christ the Lord, a Savior for the whole world. Now the shepherds, who were not big churchgoers, they nonetheless would have known the story that had been told in Israel for over 10 centuries. And that was that when the Messiah comes, and that's the word Christ in Christ the Lord. When the Messiah comes, he will bring with him such benefits have never been seen before among the people of God. He will bring the forgiveness of sins, because they weren't convinced that he had forgiven them for their sins. He will establish the complete coming home from exile. They'd come home from exile physically a long time ago, but they didn't believe that they had really been set free from exile because they were still in spiritual captivity. And he would bring with him the Shekinah glory of God, and the temple would be refilled once again with the living presence of God, which had not been there since the exile had ended. And he would cause the burning in the heart of every Jew for the Torah, love for the law of God once again. And he would bring the restoration of creation from all the effects of the curse of sin that had been going on all of these centuries. And he would bring the beginning, the introduction of the new covenant, which meant that the Holy Spirit would be implanted in the hearts of the people. Every believer receiving in his or her heart the Holy Spirit of God, not just a spirit who would come and go from time to time, but who would remain in the hearts of the people. All of this. And the angel, this mighty angel, saying to the shepherds, This one is born today down in Bethlehem. Go and see. So all good news. This, of course, is then followed by an immediate outburst of singing and worship, apparently, from the word in Greek is a word for a military angel band. Some sort of cohort of angels who on God's behalf fight battles for him in an unseen realm. Perhaps it's going on right now. Maybe some of that battle's going on over your soul or someone that you know. But whatever their role was, here they were as the choir that night, and they are singing glory to God in the highest and peace for those on whom God's favor rests. After they're gone, of course, they've been told by the angel, you go and see yourself, and you'll see it's exactly the way I told you. And as Nicole so aptly put it, you know, they said, we need to go right now. And so they did. And they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the baby, and it was exactly what they had been told. And out comes spilling the story to Mary and Joseph of what they had seen and heard, which is the language in the Gospel of Luke for faith, saving faith. They saw and they heard the truth. And when they were done there, it says, it gives at least the impression that as they went, they kept talking. And anyone, I guess, who would listen, they told the story of what they had seen and heard, first from the angels and then down in Bethlehem. What is there not to love about shepherds on Christmas? How could we possibly forget them? But, and there is a but, if we have ever known much about the shepherds, we easily forget it. Because one of the things that you may have been taught along the way, but it's so easy to pass by it, especially because Jesus is now in the picture, and we want to go and place our eyes on the one in the manger too. But what we forget is that these shepherds were the scum of Israel. They were, of all people in Israel, most despised and hated. Only prostitutes and tax collectors were worse. We know this from the rabbinical writings of the first century in Palestine, as they would write out the different schemata of who was where in the social order of the land. That was very, very important to them. They were after racial and moral purity so that the Messiah would come back soon, and that the greater the purity in the land, the sooner they would see the Messiah. And so it mattered a lot to them. And then the people who didn't care about Israel, who just did whatever they darn well pleased, these people fell to the very bottom of the list, because it was only those who cared about the people of God and where God was going with the people of God. It was only those who cared about Israel. These shepherds didn't give a rip about Israel, because they didn't keep the law. They were renowned for being liars. As one of the commentators says, they had a great way of getting confused about mine and thine. They were robbers. They stole from good people like you. You had to make sure you didn't turn your back on them or let them onto your property. It was so bad that by the middle of the first century AD in Palestine, they were not permitted to testify in court unless somebody who wasn't one of them testified the same thing. And then their witness would be allowed. They were a people who, from whom had been stripped all civil, political, public, and cultural responsibilities and authority. Privileges of what it meant to be a Jew were taken away because they were so destitute. And the worst thing of all, and I was just stunned to read this, I hadn't seen this in earlier studies, is that they were treated as Gentiles. They were treated as those who had been cast off from Israel, no longer worthy of being called a Jew. And the place that it showed up was at the temple. You remember how the temple had courts, and at the very center, closest to the holy place, was the court of Israel, where the men of Israel could go. And surrounding that was the court of women, where Jewish women could go. But then furthest away was the court of Gentiles. And there was a sign that was placed on the wall, the dividing wall of hostility between the Jewish people, men and women, and the Gentiles. On that dividing wall, there was a sign that said, "It's forbidden for you to enter in here. If you try to enter in here, you will be put to death." And that was a warning for all Gentiles and shepherds, tax collectors, prostitutes. You see, and this is the thing that I really want to get across to you, because this is the part that needs to move from information to something more personal. They really were bad people. They weren't just a marginalized group of people that had been beset upon by those in power. They weren't just a group that the Pharisees picked on. The Pharisees and all their smug self-righteousness. These were bad people who had done really bad things. It wasn't just the Pharisees who made these prohibitions. It was the whole people of Israel. And yet, these are the people to whom God comes first. Because God never forgot them. God never forgot the shepherds. They had been ostracized by their own people, and for some good reasons, but God didn't ostracize them. Now we're talking about the holy God. Proverbs 15:9, I was reading just in my devotions this morning, says, "People who do such things are an abomination to God." The shepherds were an abomination to God, but God chose to come to them anyway because he had not forgotten them. That's the point. God doesn't forget his people. None of us. No matter what we've done, no matter what insidious, awful things we did in bad days, no matter what you hide in the secrets of your heart, God doesn't forget you any more than he did the shepherds. That's the good news of which the mighty angel is speaking. He's come as the Savior for the world, for you and me. We don't have anything that we've done that deserves this. It is all grace. Yesterday, a friend of Nicole's and mine was in a prison outside of Atlanta, and she said she hugged 1,200 inmates. We don't know whether she said that figuratively or literally, but she said that she hugged a lot of murderers, and it didn't matter. That's what God did. That's what God does. He does not forget. No matter how evil your life has been. This may not pertain to you. You may not have pockets or places in your life where you wonder, has he forgotten me? I feel forgotten. But my guess is that most of us sometimes wonder. And this gospel word is for you and for me. We are not second-class citizens because of Jesus. He will never forget us. Calls us by name. And so who were the first evangelists? The shepherds. Isn't it ironic that he would come to those whose speech was mistrusted the most and made them his first gospel tellers? So it is with you and me. He comes to us at the very worst and most seamy places in our lives, and he makes us of use to him right there. This is good news of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, it is such good news that you never forget us. You never forget our names. We are never outside of your reach or your love. And neither are any of the people that we meet in Jefferson Park or anywhere around our city, or those who have embezzled funds from us, or those who have been wicked in what they have said and gossiped about us, that not one have you forgotten, nor shall we. Lord, give us strength, courage to be carriers of the good news to others, that not one is forgotten. We pray in the beloved name of Jesus. Amen.